Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from sunny Southern California. Back off the road. Welcome in, man. Hope you're having a great day. We continue to react to all the news. All the news in college football, right? College football's kind of taken over here this last 3 days, which we don't do. And here's how I would say we kind of separate ourselves on Fox Sports Radio. Part of it is Colin and I, and Dan as well, we all used to be at the other place. And our boss used to be at the other place. And so we all kind of have a genuine belief in this. And it's why we're doing well. Right. Which is, you don't necessarily talk about what you want to talk about. You talk about what the greatest number of people want to talk about. Right. And the mistakes that radio shows that have been popular but failed in the past are, and I could go through them if you'd like, but I don't need to, is you're talking about your favorite topic. You know, your favorite topic is not everybody else's favorite topic. I'm a huge college football fan. One of the reasons I think my picks are generally pretty good is I talk to a ton. There's a lot of college football coaches that I've gotten to know because I've done college basketball and college football games on some level for 20 years. And a lot of those guys that are now, you know, into their 30s and 40s, there's just, you're kind of a college guy or whatever in terms of covering it. We talk more NFL because it's more popular and everybody has a fantasy team and everybody watches that, whereas college is a little more nichey. But my avid viewing, like, can't miss programming, obviously Red Zone on a Sunday, especially the early window and the big NFL games, but college football Saturday, it's the best. So this is fun, right? But I'm always amazed at how many people are in my industry, but don't understand the industry that they cover. That may sound, you're talking condescending, like, no, it's just a reality to it. We started the show yesterday talking about the whys. That's our job, is to answer the why. Well, Brian Kelly gave us plenty of whys. He had an interview with Dan Patrick and the Dan Patrick Show, which is early in the morning here on Fox Sports Radio. He was asked by Dan why he left for LSU.
It really didn't have anything to do with what Notre Dame couldn't give me as much as another opportunity, another challenge to come down in the SEC, you know, to play in, you know, obviously arguably the best conference in the country. And the resources here are incredible.
I thought the last part was very telling. The resources. Generally, especially in basketball, but generally you want to work now for a private school as opposed to a public school, because the theory by many coaches is public schools, you have to go through so much bureaucracy to get something done, right? It's like, I'll use this easy analogy. It used to be where, when I was in high school in the 90s, you know, if you wanted to go to the gym and shoot, you would go to the gym and shoot. You'd get, the janitor would open for you, or your coach would give you a key, or your coach would open it up. Now, I live essentially like 15 minutes from where I grew up. Every one of the high school coaches in the area was either a high school coach when I played or was a player when I played. So I know all of them, and all of them without any question at the public schools were like, look, man, I'd love to let you in my gym, have your kid come and shoot, but you got to go through the district. You got to get their insurance. You got to get approved. You got to get a time, all this different stuff. Right? That's the way college sports usually is, in that most schools, if it's public, it's just can be a pain. The difference is, he's coming from a school that was private, that is incredibly well-funded, but very much academic-minded. And though they love football, I'm not totally sure they get what it takes to be great, great at football. You know? And, I mean, the example is like Oklahoma State, where I went to school. So They have an unbelievable facility. Now, they were behind in facilities for 50 years. When I went to school there, the stadium, now Boone Pickens Stadium, it's the same grounds. They just built a real stadium around it based upon Boone Pickens money and some of the other money that was raised. But all of that was completed, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, right? And then they opened a brand new weight room and locker room in the West End Zone like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. They're going to redo it in the offseason. Why? Because you got to keep up with the Joneses. Notre Dame has always, and a little bit like UCLA basketball, has always been like, look, you get to play at Notre Dame. Why do you need this extra stuff? Of the great football schools, we're the best academic institution. Of the all-time great football schools, we provide the most for you in terms of academic and postgraduate support. Why do you need all that stuff? And the truth is, you don't, but you do, right? Additionally, location-wise, they're challenged. But the big thing is, you heard at the end, hey, it's not anything Notre Dame can't give me, but man, the facilities down here are awesome. Translation, Notre Dame is, they're always playing catch-up. Whereas LSU is one of the ones that's ahead of the curve. Here was, Dan, I thought, asked great questions. And so you understand, I'm very fortunate to be friends with both Dan and Colin, several other guys that host national radio shows. Well, I filled in for them 15 years ago. I get to fill in for them now. And if anybody cares, like how I try to form my game a little bit was between Colin and Rome in the open segment rant sort of category and Dan in the interview category and a couple other guys who, if you really care, I'll divulge at some point in time. You basically say, I like what they do there. I'm going to make that a segment. Dan's always been the best interviewer, and it's two reasons. One or three. One, he listens. He asks good questions. It's the first one. Second, he listens and follows up. But third, because he's Dan, he's been doing it forever. He was Mr. SportsCenter. You're comfortable with him. You just are. Whereas sometimes, you know, I'm getting to the point where most people are comfortable with me. But if you're new to this gig, it's really hard to create because you don't have equity with who you're interviewing. Anyway, Dan asked Brian Kelly when he considered leaving.
My focus was on my guys at Notre Dame. I don't know that there was ever a, you know, wandering eye at all. But, you know, we're curious. We're coaches, right? We're always looking for that next challenge.
Yeah, so the idea is, like, while your agent may be having these conversations, and I think everyone's agent, and this happened in broadcasting, when Tony Romo got $17 million, you don't think that Troy Aikman was like, hey, guess what? I've been doing this three times as long. I have three Super Bowl rings. He has none. I was quarterback of the Cowboys. I won three Super Bowls. If he's worth 17, what am I worth? That's absolutely normal in any industry. Any industry. But I actually believe that, like, okay, you're coaching your team. You can't focus on what else is out there. You hear stuff. I'm sure there's conversations about stuff. But the idea of leaving, you just don't have the bandwidth to think of it because that happens the second the season is over. I thought this was the best question and the most honest answer. He was asked, okay, about if circumstances were slightly different, would he still be at LSU?
If you were ranked third right now, Coach, would you still be in Louisiana?
Oh, I don't know, Dan. You know, those are tough questions. You know, I'm a pretty honest guy and would tell you, but those are so hard to, you know, to answer relative to would I had done something different in that situation. And I really couldn't tell you, to be honest with you.
All right, it's fair. I think Lincoln Riley's in the same boat. Like, I don't think Lincoln Riley's the coach at USC today, and maybe not the coach at USC ever, if they win Saturday, because then they're playing for a Big 12 championship and potentially playing for a national championship. And while there's still the possibility of Notre Dame, and I want to talk about that coming next, what they do if they are right there on the cusp of qualifying, what the committee does, I think there's a reality to, like, if they were in a different spot and had a chance to play for a national championship, I don't think he would be open to that yet until their season was done. Speaking of season being done, I don't blame you as fans for not knowing how things work. But when you're a member of the media, I do. Here's Peter King on a radio hit in San Francisco.
I think what Brian Kelly did yesterday is an absolute total disgrace. You have 90 players and 15 coaches to be absolutely totally all in. But how in the world do you walk out on your team? I don't care what the money is. And they wake up one morning and see on Twitter, Brian Kelly has reached a 10-year, $100 million deal with LSU. Would you feel like you'd be kicked right in the crotch? I would. And I would be angry at Brian Kelly.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't actually think most of the players are angry. I think they're a little pissed, but not angry. But, you know, I said this yesterday, and I talked to some basketball coaches last night, and they're like, you're 100% right. Brian Kelly talked about saying goodbye to the players. Actually, this is the Q&A with Dan and asked about saying goodbye to the players.
Is there a tactful way to say goodbye?
Never. It's always difficult because of things get leaked and they get out to the media before you can actually get in front of your guys. I did the best I could. I was on the road recruiting and things got, you know, out to the media before. But I was able to send a note to my guys and then get in front of them yesterday at 7 a.m. and tell them I love them.
So Peter is in this kind of holier than thou. It's a disgrace. Like, listen, I hate to break it to you guys, but we have a lot of people in the media who cover sports, but don't really know sports. And Peter knows a ton about the NFL, but he's never covered college. And he's saying things about college. Frankly, the reality is when you're a coach or when you're anybody who leaves your job, you are not supposed to say anything. I don't understand why they don't say it, but you're not supposed to say anything. And he was on the road recruiting. Like, by the way, that's why this process has to be done quickly. And while it doesn't make sense with the game schedule, with the bowl games and the New Year's Six and the national championship semifinals, why it doesn't make sense, December 15th is the early signing date. That's in 15 days, you know? And I've heard the way your first recruiting class doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It's everything. Everything is the momentum generated by the announcement and using the success of where you were to where you're going. And oh yeah, by the way, the school where you coach for, they don't want you out there recruiting for them if you're not going to be there. That looks terrible. They don't want you around the players because you're going to take the good players with you. That looks terrible. I saw a tweet where he had the Brian Kelly executing the Irish exit from the Fighting Irish is the most ironic thing ever. I think that's incredible. I don't know if you guys do that. Do you guys do the Irish goodbye, which is, you know, when you go to a party, you just kind of duck out the back door. You dip, if you will. You don't say goodbye to anybody, which that's how I leave parties, just so you know. If you ever look around, go, where's Gottlieb? There's your answer. Not here. It's not because I hate saying goodbye. It's just awkward. And it's actually, I feel like it shows less ego to do that. Right? Because if you have to say goodbye to everybody, you're telling everybody, hey, stop what you're doing. Somebody really important is leaving the party.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. We got a lot to get to. The Rams' struggles have caught the attention of three-time Super Bowl champion Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman. Tell you what he said upcoming. Daniel Jeremiah will join us next hour. Wait till you hear what Ben Roethlisberger compared losing games to. It's an interesting analogy. And, oh yeah, by the way, the Duke lost. You can celebrate that one. It's pretty good. Like, for Hater Nation, pretty good week for you, right? Hater Nation loves when Notre Dame loses. They lost their coach. Hater Nation usually doesn't like Oklahoma. They lost their coach. Hater Nation loves when Duke loses. And they lost. The Lakers did win last night. It's a big Hater Nation, right, with LeBron James. Although LeBron didn't play and they won last night. So maybe there's that. I don't know. Steph struggled. Duke lost. A lot of stuff going on. It's Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're headed to a lockout in baseball that nobody really cares about because the sense is that these contracts are crazy and it's a player versus union thing and fans just don't care because we rarely care about baseball in the regular season anyway. Before the regular season, exactly zero people actually truly care. Good? Yeah. So you know what people care about? These coaching changes are interesting, right? How do we view Notre Dame now getting ready for the potential for a college football playoff if things break their way? It looks like the committee is like, not going to get you in. Who's the right guy to lead that program? And what does it say, if anything, about the Irish that he left? Let's welcome in a special guest. Ryan Harris is a former lineman for the Irish. He's a current Notre Dame radio analyst. And, of course, he won a Super Bowl playing with the Broncos back when Peyton was the quarterback, right? So he joins us now on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Ryan, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure's mine. Where were you when you heard the news?
I was actually on a broadcast set here in Denver and my phone just started blowing up. You know, do you know anything? What's going on? You know, some people just beside themselves, other people with less than family radio friendly language. And initially there was shock. And the strange thing was there wasn't confirmation. Everybody I talked to who was there didn't know. And I think that was the biggest indicator that there was a change. So nothing had been confirmed. And then I got confirmation from a couple of coaches who had talked to Coach Kelly. And, you know, some of the coaches were happy. Other of the coaches were, you know, mixed emotions. Some of them were in shock. So a lot of people were surprised by Coach Kelly's move. And I believe Coach Kelly would tell you he was surprised at how quick, you know, the news spread as well. He wanted to get back and tell his team in the morning and unfortunately wasn't able to do that and break the news to them first.
Okay, so what did you think? When you caught a breath and you thought about it, what'd you think?
Congratulations to Coach Kelly. I mean, you know, you get that kind of a deal. 9 years, $95 million, a blank check for facilities. You know, 70% of their roster is from Louisiana, whereas when he was a Notre Dame coach, he's flying to New York, L.A., Florida, Atlanta. You know, so now you can kind of cut down your recruiting time, and you get to build a program. So congratulations to Coach Kelly. And it's a win-win, I believe, deep down for the Irish. Coach Kelly had done a great job in the last 12 years, five consecutive double-digit win seasons, you know, multiple playoff appearances, and that elusive Big Bowl win, you know. So I think Notre Dame is a program that's built to win, has the depth now that you need to compete at the highest level, and they need a coach to take them there. So hopefully in the next week or so, the Notre Dame faithful will get some answers because it is a church without a pulpit right now, I can tell you that.
Okay, so it's fascinating the reality that you understand, right? Like, and I don't think it's about travel for recruiting. I just think it's about, you know, players generally want to stay close to home, right? And Notre Dame's always been a national brand, and I think they do a great job scheduling, right? The ACC schedule allows them to get into Virginia, allows them to get into Florida, right? Allows them to get into California by playing Stanford and USC, and they've played in Texas, right? And that's their way of getting players. But, look, man, it's a hard school to get into, hard school to stay in. Let alone, we're not even getting to the football. Whereas, you know, you're at LSU, like you said, like they are 100% about winning football games. But now there are going to be some that say, like, look, what about how we handled it leaving now? I've said it's the reality of the early signing period. There's like nothing you can do. You have guys enroll early, guys in the transfer portal that are going to show up on campus first week in January. Do you, as a former Irish player, do you have a problem with the timing of it?
I would have loved for it to have been after the college football playoffs, you know, rankings were announced. I do believe that had a role in Oklahoma State jumping Notre Dame. But there would have been no good time. You know, there would have been no good time for Coach Kelly to tell the Notre Dame faithful in a season where they have a chance to win a national championship that he's leaving, you know. And back to the point on school, yeah, recruiting, you don't have to travel the country, but that's also more time for the coach at home. And let's be clear here. I mean, Notre Dame, everybody says the school is tough. Yes, it's hard, but the thing is you actually have to go to class, right? But I was able to get 2 degrees in 3.5 years. It's very, very possible. If I can do it, anybody can get one. Now, you go to a different school, and I'm not for sure on LSU, but I know some stories from teammates I've had that have told me about it. I mean, you got online classes. I mean, what's a freshman with four online classes doing in September? They're in the weight room, right? I mean, this is a different story.
Ryan, I'll just tell you, and granted, it was 20 years ago, okay? I was a freshman at Notre Dame.
Right.
It was freshman studies, right, where you get, you have to either pass the swim test or take swimming, or you get some
yeah.
PE. That's the only easy A, but that's like 1 hour of an A that you get. The rest, crazy. Oklahoma State's a good school, okay? But, bro, it's a completely different deal. It's just,
well,
I can't.
And we went
to class. It wasn't that we didn't go to class, but you're drawing from a completely different level of player, a different mentality, a different everything, right? And even if you make them, and I do believe they make them go to class or do the online class or whatever, I don't think it's all, you know, that you can't be a student athlete. It's a completely different deal, Notre Dame, as opposed to Oklahoma State where I went, or LSU.
Oh, no question. And we take pride in that. I mean, every
right.
player
no
that
question.
Goes to Notre Dame goes beyond, right? You have the chance to go to Miami, to an SC, but you want more. But, I mean, it's not only the classes, but I'm telling you right now, I got teammates from the SEC. They were not being checked in for class. You know, I had one teammate who a professor was upset, came to the football office and said, you know, where is this player? He hasn't been in my class for 3 weeks. And the coach looked at the professor and said, if you're looking for him, he'll be in the backfield Saturday night. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about in the SEC. You get away with a whole lot more, and it's a different experience. You're 100% right. And it's a different kid, and it's a different person that chooses to go to Notre Dame.
Okay. Do you think it's fair that they are judged less favorably because they won't have BK if they play in a national semifinal?
It's absolutely unfair. I mean, these kids have earned the opportunity to play for a national championship. You can't take away the work and production of 100 guys because of one man's decision. That would just be an abomination. You know, do you understand why Oklahoma State's getting in there with an opportunity for a conference championship? Sure, I get that. But to hold those kids back, fighting back after losing a tough game to Cincinnati where they had three turnovers in the first five possessions, two of them in their own red zone, and that changes the game. They are begging for a chance to play Cincinnati again. And they also understand that that they put themselves in this position. But I think the College Football Committee, Playoff Committee, if they were to hold that against the kids for Brian Kelly leaving, that would be the worst mistake in the short history of the College Football Playoff. These kids have earned and played their way into contention, and they deserve a shot.
Okay, I wouldn't argue with what they've earned and what they've done. Like, we could go back, and I do think one of the things that's benefited the Irish recently is that they moved to this ACC schedule, and the ACC stinks, right? It's like, now they're playing Florida State every year. Florida State stinks. They play Virginia Tech every year. Virginia Tech's like, if you would have played that when you were in school, it's the hardest schedule ever, right? But besides that, here's the big question. Are they as good a team without Brian Kelly preparing and playing in those games?
The answer is yes. You know, Brian Kelly has moved himself into a CEO role towards the end of his tenure at Notre Dame. Tommy Reese really runs the offense. Marcus Freeman has full control of the defense. So even Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director, said yesterday, you know, we need somebody to handle the timeouts and game management. You know, we've got a great staff in place. So I absolutely believe they can win without a head coach. And they may have a head coach by the time that the bowl game comes around. I mean, you got to remember, no conference championship for Notre Dame. It's about 6 weeks, hopefully, until they play again.
Who do you think is the right fit?
I really like Marcus Freeman, defensive coordinator right now at Notre Dame. He's done a phenomenal job recruiting, not only that, but putting players in positions to win. After that, I would call Andy Heck, the offensive line coach at the Kansas City Chiefs. Former Notre Dame football player, played 8 years in the NFL, won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, been to two of them, really the most brilliant offensive mind I played with, taught me a lot about the game. I think they should give him a call, and then I'm calling Urban Meyer. If I'm Jack Swarbrick, I'm calling Urban Meyer and saying, I saw your press conference, that was cute, let's talk turkey, what will it take to get you here? So those would be my three choices for the Notre Dame job.
Well, but if he offers Marcus the job, he's going to take it. He offers Andy Heck the job, he's going to take it. So you'd have to go the opposite order, right? And I don't think Urban's going to do it, but I would say, hey, what, you know, is there a number that we can get to? Is there something we can get to, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's – I mean, the fact is, and this is – you can ask anybody in the NFL right now. I mean, people refer to Urban Meyer as the future college football coach, Urban Meyer. I mean, it's a matter of if – it's a matter about when, not if, Urban Meyer is going to go back to college, and you're not going to get an opportunity like this many more times. He also – you know, I talked to people who were there, was getting ready to get on the private jet before they hired one of the other coaches, but the university told them no on getting two separate players every year in his recruiting class that didn't have to pass academic standards. So I know he's been interested in the job in the past, and especially with how they're losing in Jacksonville, I'd make sure that he said no before I started opening up to some other possibilities.
Does the picture of him in the bar make him unhireable for a college job?
No one knows about forgiveness more than Catholics. So, I mean, hey, you want to come to a place that has a tenet of forgiveness, Notre Dame's the place. And I think he's done a good job of getting away from that and also realizing that he can't control the narrative in the NFL. And that may also be a reason why he ends up going back to college.
Ryan, great stuff, man. Love having you on. We got to do this more. In the meantime, thanks so much for joining us. And can't wait to see what happens next with the Irish. Appreciate you being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
It was an honor. Thanks for having me. Peace.
All right. Ryan Harris, former Indy offensive lineman, former lineman with the Broncos when they won a Super Bowl, and of course, current analyst for the Irish. I thought that's real deal perspective. And honestly, like, most players are that way. Like, guys are real about it. Like, wait, you're going to leave for LSU? Wait, how much? Oh, bro, you got to go take that money. You got to take that money. You know? Yeah, the timing sucks. Really sucks. I mean, again, just think about it. And he made a great point. Like, what if he waited till Wednesday and then it comes out? Great. Here's the problem. Okay. He would have been recruiting for Notre Dame for a couple of days. That wouldn't have gone over well. And then do you think the committee would have felt a little bit scorned? I do. I also think that there's also a point to it where you realize, and this actually helps your point, Dan Beyer, on is Notre Dame as good without him? Is coaching is really, it depends on the coach, is a small percentage of what it takes to be a head coach in college sports. The X and O's part of it is a very small percentage. Recruiting is a massive part of it. Handling boosters, working with the athletic department, managing your staff, managing your academic staff, all of these things, managing the players, the parents, the recruits, their parents, all of that is of equal or greater importance than the actual coaching. And then you focus on what you can focus on, but you got to hire people to do what you don't do. Which is the part that gives me caution about hiring somebody who has a specific field of expertise. Like, oh, you hire Marcus, he's a great defensive coordinator, but that takes him away from what he does best. Who's going to manage the program? Is there a way to hire somebody to help you do the CEO thing? But the counter to that is, I am waiting for the day, and look, we're making a big deal about the money exploding, when the truth is, we don't know the scale of the NFL. Like, if you've read, Belichick makes 20. Most of these guys make close to eight figures as head coaches in the National Football League, and they don't have to recruit, and they have a legit offseason. But all jobs, I think broadcasting is the exception, everything is exploding in terms of cost. That's where we are right now. Hell, the dollar store is now going to be what, the $1.25 store? So we're looking at it through a lens of yesterday, not through a lens of today. But will there be an athletic director that says, hey, look, here's the deal. We're only going to pay our head coach $2 million. He's a young guy, going to prove himself. But we're going to pay his staff at the going rate of the top staffs. So you're going to do it kind of an ensemble cast sort of thing.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I think this is actually the perfect example of something I was talking with Jason Stewart with before the show. Like, I can't tell you that putting on Christmas music is going to make anyone want to listen to a sports radio show, but it's not my network, right? Like, I work for a company, and it's an incredible company. And if that's the decision they make, and they want to make my ears bleed, I'm kidding. There's nothing wrong with that song. Is it's fine with me, right? That's like part of the deal. And for whatever reason, we live now in a society where, like, everything that corporate America, people in charge do, everything is wrong. Everything's wrong. And pushing back on that is the only right. It's not. It's not. Doesn't affect my ability to do a show at all. And sometimes there's some great stuff. Like we haven't broke out the Nat King Cole yet, which is, it does make me a little emotional. We'll get to it at some point, I'm sure, in this holiday season. There's some great Christmas songs. This is a good question here on Twitter. Hey, Gottlieb Show. I know the situation with these things, but can you explain why the early signing day and it's relevant, why it exists? I feel it'll help settle a lot of confusion. Why coaches can't wait until after the season to sign their new contract. It's a great question. Okay, here's why. I would guess that on a given year, half, at least half of your signing class shows up early to campus. Okay, shows up early to campus. So that's the first week in January when you're back from Christmas break. Okay? So you have to have an early signing date for that. All of these kids, a lot of them, they just skip their, and I don't really get this. I guess like senior prom, whatever, but you're skipping your second half of your senior year. You already graduate early and then you go and you get ready so you can play as a freshman. So that's a good portion of it. I mean, really in college football, there have been people pushing for, you know, a signing period before the season, which I think is a disaster. I think it's a terrible idea because, again, coaches change, players get hurt, you sign a scholarship, they have to honor it. The whole thing is messy. There's just, I don't believe there's a way to move it or to fix it. There's just not a way to move it or fix it. Could you, in theory, move all the football signing to February? Yeah. Yeah, you could. But again, that cuts out all the early enrollees. Additionally, and this is a big one too, guys that put themselves in the transfer portal, they're not going to sit around during the second semester and wait to see the coaching changes and everything and then go like, I'm just going to sit, be in the transfer portal, not participate in workouts, not participate in spring ball, and then transfer in and try and play. The transfer portal makes it so you have to make these moves because you have to make your decision by the time second semester starts. And you might say to yourself, well, you know, if a guy has to sit out a year, yeah, I would agree. If we went back to the old policy where guys had to sit out a year, it doesn't matter. Truly doesn't matter. He ain't playing next year anyway. But guess what? All of the same people that are complaining about coaches leaving want the players to be able to leave with no ramifications. Like, these things run counter to each other. You're making bad arguments. I'm telling you the reality of it. It doesn't mean that I'm for it, that I'm against it. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just telling you the reality is the second you get done with your season, you get on a plane and you start and you go recruit. Okay? That's what they all do. And that's why you have to get that recruiting momentum with a new head coach. And that's why I don't believe Lincoln Riley would be the coach at USC. Would they have waited another week to see if he lost in the Big 12 championship game? Maybe. But the likelihood is they want a new coach because they want to flip some of these kids to generate. Look at what's happened with USC. Already flipping kids that have committed to Oklahoma and other places and how quickly that's happened. We're only at Wednesday. So if you want to know why, that's why. And if you want to know why the timing, it's the fact that second semester starts the first week in January. And if you're anybody, you're going to be on that campus as a transfer or as a signee. It's the reality of it. Just the reality of it. Okay, here's the question. So the head of the committee last night said that they are taking into account Notre Dame. You know, if you don't have a coach, you don't have a player, how that's going to affect you in the playoffs. It feels like it's written, at least in pencil, that Notre Dame is not getting in. But should it affect them? I'm a little torn here, Jay Stu, whether or not I should give my opinion because it's a pretty strong one. And I can flip John on whatever opinion he has. I can just take the opposite side and then I'll get John to agree with me. Let me ask Dan Beyer. Dan, do you think that not having Brian Kelly should affect whether or not Notre Dame plays for national championship?
I would say no. I don't think it does. I agree with you that I don't think that Notre Dame was a realistic has a realistic shot at making the top four. So I think it also allows Gary Barta to say that. But I also think, to give my opinion on what I think was really behind it, was that college football committee is full of athletic directors and conference commissioners and people who may have an interest in making sure that coaches aren't leaving if a school is on the verge of doing it. So to me, I felt it may have been self-serving for those on the college football playoff committee.
No, none of those guys. No, nobody would ever say something self-serving. You stop it.
To send that message out when Notre Dame realistically doesn't have an opportunity to make the playoff. I don't think they do. That's where I thought it was all behind. But I don't think it should, but that's why I think that they send the message out.
Jay Stu, what do you think?
I'm only thinking about the student athletes here, and they're the ones that got Notre Dame to this point. I don't think they should be penalized. I think whoever's coaching that game should not matter in this circumstance. So if they deserve it, they should be in.
Are coaches worth the money? Jason, are coaches worth the money? Is Nick Saban worth the money?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so if Nick Saban's not coaching Alabama, does that change your opinion?
It changes my opinion of whether or not I'm going to gamble on the team, but I would like to reward the student-athletes in this case.
Okay, but by rewarding the student-athletes, you're punishing other student-athletes. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you're rewarding them. The idea of the college football playoff is find me the best four teams, right?
I think that would be the difference of it, because I would say that they shouldn't be allowed, or that it shouldn't be held against them because of the work that they accomplished over the season. So that's what we are grading them on, not who we think are the four best. I think it should be the four best from what they've accomplished over this season that they have played. So, like, hypothetically guessing if they're going to play better with or without their head coach is not what the criteria is about.
I don't think so. I think they're trying to find the best four teams.
I know you are, because you and I have had this conversation before. But then again, it goes back to why play the games. Like, if you just think they're the four best teams, and all of a sudden this team then loses the head coach, well, you don't know. We've seen teams go and play with an interim head coach and play out of their minds, and then
forcing the school for two games.
We've never had that really situation. We've had just coaches leave and then bowl games. West Virginia comes to mind. USC comes to mind.
Here's the easiest way to look at it for me, okay? If I go over to Dan's house, okay, and Dan's like, hey, man, we're out of town for the weekend. The remote's pretty selfish. I'll leave the TV on so you don't have to worry about it or whatever. And just go, and fridge is full. Just, clean up after yourself a little bit, and you're done. And I'm like, hey, no problem. I show up. And it's great. It's awesome. Okay. Then I turn off the TV. I go up and I go into the guest room and I go to sleep, because I'm not sleeping in his bed. Kind of creepy, right? So I go and sleep in the guest room. Yeah. I get up the next day and I'm like, wait, how do I turn on the TV? Right. I mean, you ever tried to turn on somebody else's TV? It's like, wait a second. I have a college degree. Okay. I was a straight A student one time in my life. Like, I've worked my whole, like, I know kind of like, I have no idea how to, what remote, what is this? Is this the symbol for boron? What is that? What do I have to press? And I'm like calling Dan. Do I disturb him on his vacation? Do I not? The baby's sleeping. Lisa hates me. All this other stuff. That's what it'd be like to coach that second game. First game, you might be able to get by. Second game, you'd be like, I don't know. What do you call this? So I do think, I don't know if it's a punishment. I just think it's a reality to it. It's just like when Kendall Marshall got hurt for North Carolina. And I remember I was on SportsCenter at the time, and they were like, how far do you see North Carolina going without Kendall Marshall? And I was like, they're going to go to St. Louis, and then they're going to come home to Chapel Hill. And it's not because I don't respect North Carolina, that team that I thought was the best or second best team in the country. They lost to Kentucky. This is 2010 or 2012. I can't remember. It was whenever Anthony Davis won the national championship. They lost that Kentucky team by two early in the year. But the reality is, you're different when you don't have your point guard. You're different when you don't have your coach. Like, there's a reason that the guy you know, only one coach has been able to figure out the Notre Dame thing for the better part of a decade when you've had other super talented coaches that have been way up and down, lost their job before. Right. So I just think it's a realist, like nobody likes reality anymore. That honestly is the biggest takeaway. No one wants reality. U.S. Women's National Team, we want to make as much money as the men. Great. Here's the reality. They generate 10 times as much money as you do, even if they're nominally as successful as you are. Right? It's the same thing with women's basketball. I had a great podcast with Molly Miller. Molly Miller is my brother's boss at Grand Canyon. And she's like, I said, there's one thing for women's basketball. Like, man, I'd like it to be, I like more games on TV, more promotion. Like, that's great. Here's the problem. Nobody watches. They just don't. Very few people watch men's college basketball. Women's college basketball, come on. They just don't. This is not male chauvinist. This is the reality. Sports TV is a business. Right? Sports TV is a business. I get this all the time. People are like, why don't you talk more college basketball? You know what? Because if I do a show and I focus on last night's Ohio State comeback and win over Duke and the officiating and what a celebration is to see Duke. The reality is my ratings aren't going to be as good.